Before we open God's word, let us pray. Unto thee, our Father in heaven, we turn our hearts and have assembled ourselves round about thy precious and living word again in this afternoon hour. And how thankful we are that thy word can serve and feed a multitude and meet each and every one of our needs. We pray, O Lord, that as we would look into thy word, that we would recognize our place and acknowledge unto thee, Lord, our unworthiness and our inability. But we find our all in all. We find our joy and our strength in thee, our God. And we pray that thou would be with us. Guide and instruct us according to thy Holy Spirit. For we call upon thee now, in Jesus' name, amen. Loved ones, the word of the Lord is open this afternoon to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Would desire to perhaps begin reading with verse 29.
Evanđelje po Luci, druga glava, početak od 29. broj.
This is the very familiar chapter of the birth of Jesus, and we pick up the reading with statements made by Simeon, who rejoiced and was waiting to see the day of the Lord and the coming of the Messiah. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph, his mother, and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew, and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it, But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolks and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them, and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man. We find again some who are waiting for Jesus. Simeon and Anna, who are waiting, expecting, and believed in the promise of God that the Messiah would come. There's things that we can learn about our preparation and waiting for our Lord in our day. Brother mentioned many times in the prayer the word surrender. It's very touching to see what Simeon was ready to surrender when he saw Jesus. He was an old man. There was a lot of work that he had done, and he was ready to leave it. There were many relationships that perhaps he had formed, and he was ready to let them go. He's ready to give up his life. And he's at peace with that surrender. There's something so beautiful about the simple gospel message that makes us ready to bid farewell, that makes us ready to part with everything that is valued here on earth, and to be at peace. There are experiences in life where we lose things, and at times they are wrestled from our grip against our will. But this surrender is different. He is ready, he is willing to let everything of his life go, because he's found the purpose of his life. A reason to have an eternity. Because without Jesus Christ, there's no reason to go on. There's no reason for eternity. Everything else that can be valued, which is a lesser love or lesser value, will fade away. But the Lord, his love, his truth will endure forever, and is worth enjoying and being in the presence of. And that is the desire of Simeon. And that's the desire of a man's heart who has embraced the gospel, who has embraced Jesus' call to a new life that we heard of this morning. We also see Simeon speak to Mary, his mother, and has words for her. And they're words of challenge. They're words of suffering and hardship. She had been called upon by the Lord to raise up this child. And through Jesus' life and death, she had also needed to learn to part. If you imagine or think back to when Jesus was teaching, and the pressure of the scribes and the Pharisees was coming on, and they wanted to talk with Jesus. Jesus' mother and brethren wanted to talk with him. And Jesus says, "Behold, who is my mother and my brethren? But the one that does the will of God, this is my brother and sister and mother." As a mom, how would that make her feel? How would she have to surrender? And then, of course, as she was there when he was crucified and after his resurrection, being close with Jesus for her, she needed to learn to surrender. She needed to learn to let go. And we, each and every one of us, who are called to follow and called to be disciples of Jesus Christ, will also learn that lesson. The things that we value, things that we had hoped for, expectations, maybe even relationships as close as family, that they might need to be surrendered. Surrendered for the one true hope of eternal life in Jesus Christ. And to be at peace with that. Is quite a calling. It's quite a thing to reflect upon as we consider our lives and the things that we value, the things that we wait for, the things that we spend our time, the things that we hope for and expect to take place. Does Jesus' presence speak into those things? Does he change us? Does he mold us? He is an expert artisan, and he is the potter. We are the clay. He is doing the work. And it's good in his sight. It's good in his sight when we learn to let go of things that are vain and will never profit. Anna was a woman who was preparing for the coming of the Lord. And the way that she occupied herself in her waiting was she departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. She was looking for redemption in Jerusalem. She was giving thanks unto the Lord. She's preparing through simple service and devotion to the Lord to greet her King, to greet the Savior. And that is something that we are all called to as well. We are called to a life of simple and humble service in preparation for the coming of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he asks, will I find faith when I return? Will I find faithfulness to serve in those little things, in those small areas, in those quiet, unnoticed spaces? That's where the Lord desires for his children to be active. Night and day. To go through the night in prayer. For what? What is the hope and longing of her heart? Those are the things that will keep us up at night. The things that we treasure. That's what we'll dedicate ourselves to. That's what we'll be devoted to. The truth will make itself evident. And she was known for being devoted to God. And she had something to say to those who looked for redemption. And that's a touching example. She is living a life of credibility when it comes to being able to speak to those who are looking for redemption. This world, we say, is lost in sin and darkness. And some are looking for hope. Some are looking for purpose and redemption. It is a servant who is preparing, whose God is preparing, with a message that is coming from a credible source about what redemption means and how God is going to bring it to pass. So we can all be encouraged. Do we know who will cross our path this week? Do we know the seeds that we are planting in our children's hearts and minds? The seeds that will eventually become the character that either bring our hearts joy or make us distressed. May they be simple faithfulness and service. So when they seek counsel regarding redemption, when they ask, where will I find the Lord? That we can answer from a place of credibility and genuineness and not need to make up the answer as we go. Now Jesus says that the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. This is something that children do. You know, we're so blessed to have many young ones, many children that come mornings for Sunday school, afternoons, on Wednesday evenings too. And we pray for them often. We long for them to know the Lord. We watch them grow so quickly and the time just flies. And that's a gift from God that he blesses with that physical growth. But as we think about the impact of the Word of God in our homes, especially for us as dads, who are given the responsibility over everything that takes place in the home, we're given the responsibility of the teaching of the Word of God. We're given the responsibility over the physical things and providing. Our responsibility goes to the output and what is being produced by our home. The character of peace, the character and virtues of faith. We're going to be held accountable for what's produced. Just like Adam, who was to tend the garden, that was his responsibility. Ours, we have our homes, we have our families. And God is looking for us. Not only to take care of the physical, but to guide and to pray, to lean upon the Lord, to ask for His Holy Spirit's wisdom, so that we can be participants with God in a spiritual harvest. It says here that Jesus waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. The grace of God was upon him. It's the word of God that we turn to, because these are the things that we desire for our own children, that they might wax strong in spirit, that young men and boys would grow up to strong men, remembering the stories of old, remembering the stories of Daniel that they heard in Sunday school, remembering the stories of Joseph and how he turned away from temptation to be strong in the Spirit and to love the truth is our desire. It's what we see in Jesus' life, and that is our desire. To be filled with wisdom. To be filled with wisdom. To have thoroughly learned the lesson of the fear of God, where wisdom begins. To show our children what it means to respect a holy God, to have reverence before Him, to recognize how small we are and how great our Father is, how much we appreciate and need to know that He is the one who makes it possible that we can sing that last phrase of the song that we sang, that we are not orphans. But we have a place. There's a place that we belong. And when we know that place, we can live within that structure, that framework, and have freedom. And we can work. We can work hard. We can be satisfied. And there's blessing. But it takes wisdom to know and to discern where that is and what's pleasing to the Lord. And God, give us wisdom as we seek to take the Word of God, understand it, demonstrate it, live it out, and commit it to our children, to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And it says, and the grace of God was upon him. The grace of God. What greater treasure, what greater blessing than God's love and his power to be alive and to be at work in the ones that we love so much. There's a beautiful example of Jesus' life. The grace of God was upon him. And that's our hope and prayer for each and every one. The passage that we read concludes with the account that we remember of Jesus when he was 12 years old. His parents had made a pattern. They had set the expectation and they had set the order that for them and their house, they would come to the feast. They would come to worship God. They would separate themselves from the work of the carpentry and the tasks that they were doing, and they would come. And we see that this was not just in Mary and Joseph, but it was also for their extended family. And they were traveling together, and they were very close-knit, such that Mary and Joseph could simply trust that Jesus was with the other family members. That's a beautiful thing that we also enjoy in many ways, where we have extended family that is supportive, but not everybody enjoys that. Some of our families are smaller. Some of our families don't understand the word, don't appreciate the steps of faith that we're taking. But the church is to be as a family. The church is to be as ones that we can trust and depend upon, that we can have confidence that we are pulling in the same direction. It's that church that is filled with that faith that Jesus is looking for, that Jesus will return for. And so may we fulfill our calling as a body of believers in the ways that the Lord would have us to take care of, to look out for, to be an example to those that are coming up behind us. See the value of that. You notice that Mary and Joseph, I don't want to read too much into it, but they're busy. They have other things on their mind. They're getting ready to travel. And they lose sight of something. They lose sight of Jesus, and they make an assumption and go on their way. You know, we think we can handle things. We think we can take care of things, even important things. But after a few years, you realize how little we really can do. How little we can really manage. How little of the storms of life we can face on our own and handle. We've got busy lives too. It's easy to lose track. It's easy to lose focus. How good it is when our fellowship restores the focus where it belongs, on Jesus Christ. How good it is that not even with a word to see a brother or sister, we're encouraged in the faith. And then we're ready to reach out to someone else. We're ready not to just turn inward with worry and anxiety, but we're at ease, and we're ready to serve. That's a good picture of the good impact that we can have one on another. Joseph and Mary are looking for Jesus, and they eventually find him in the temple. I'm reminded of a passage that we've been reading quite a bit where Jesus talks about the end times when people are going to ask, where's Christ? They're going to say, here, he's in the wilderness. Let's go. Let's do this new thing. And Jesus said, don't follow them. You know, if our children or if our friends are looking for an understanding of the Word of God and life and where they fit into God's plan, and are looking really for Jesus because he is the answer of all those things, point them to the Father's business. That's where they'll find him. And it's really just convicting my heart. Is that where my kids find me? Am I there? Am I watching him? Am I amazed? As he in his meekness and the perfect example of a child baffles all those who are our adversaries. God's business is his word and bringing it to bear in the hearts of men to bring glory to his name. May we also be about our Father's business, that those who see us might find Christ the Lord. Because they won't find him in the things that we buy, in the things that we hoard or invest in. They won't find him in our business. They won't find him in the things that this world values. They'll find him at his Father's business. Now, whether we are there or not, that's our choice. But he will be there, and we can trust in him. We can rely upon him to always be there, speaking the words of his Father, doing his Father's will, being about his Father's business. I hope that as we look at Jesus' example, and we think about what that means to be doing our Father's business, being about that, being occupied, setting our hands and our hearts, our mouths and our days and our schedules to conform to the order of our Father, that we would find blessing in that, and that those who need to learn and those who we are entrusted with bringing up, that they would also find the blessing as Jesus here increases in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Increased in wisdom, being able to know how to take the word of God, being able to compare the world that they see around them, to be able to understand the world through the word of God and what God has to say about valuing this or that. And in stature and in favor with God and man. A man that is dedicating his life, or a woman that is dedicating his life or her life in simple and faithful service, in humility that's not looking for attention or somebody's eyes or somebody's ears, will be in favor with God because he loves those who are humble and he pours upon them his grace. And they will also be in favor with man because that's the person that you can go to for help, for encouragement, for wisdom. May it be our prayer and our hope that these few thoughts that have come out of the word would instruct us how we are to wait, how we are to occupy ourselves as we seek for Jesus, and as also we help those who are seeking his ways. May God bless this word. Amen.